On the Same Page, A Good Omens Fan Fiction by Chekhov, read by GorillasGal86. Part 2. Chapter 3. Things did not go as planned. Not that he was complaining. No, far from it. Upon revisiting his plans and comparing them to what had happened, he realized that his expectations had been quite abysmally low. In fact, it was silly how low they had been. After all, he knew what Crowley was into, what Crowley wrote about and read about, and what he liked. What he didn't realize was just how much Crowley liked it, until he had Crowley pressed up against the wall of his own dark flat, biting his lip for him and pushing a knee up into the other's frighteningly tight trousers and the erection therein. One of them moaned. He couldn't be bothered to think who. He just knew the feeling was mutual, or at least he thought it was, judging by the way the other was trying to disrobe him like Aziraphale was a Christmas present that had appeared under the tree overnight. Which was awfully flattering and absolutely confounding to him on all levels. Crowley's fingers were under his shirt collar, pressing down their weight on his shoulders as if testing to see if he could bear it. And Aziraphale knew he could, because he was. He was bracing his feet to the wooden floor and pushing Crowley up, opening him at the collarbones and growing onto him like ivy. And Crowley let him, even hooked a leg up over his thigh. Hissed softly, ever so softly, into Aziraphale's neck, tugging at the edge of his waistcoat to give his tongue more room to work. Bit into the skin at his throat, eliciting a reciprocating hiss. "Careful with that," Aziraphale gasped. His fingers traversed the ribs hidden under the thin black shirt, reading them like braille. "Vintage?" Crowley asked breathlessly. "You flatter me." Aziraphale released him in order to help out, though he kept his knee up where Crowley seemed to be enjoying it. "I'm just making wild guesses, actually," admitted Crowley, struggling out of his own jacket like snakeskin. "Was on my mind because of the Pride and Prejudice fanfiction, which is mostly sex, if I recall," Aziraphale remarked. His own shirt he kept on, but his hands were finding their way to Crowley's belt, beginning to take guesses as to how to rid him of it. "Is that what's on your mind?" "Seems on topic for what we're going to be doing," Crowley replied. "Think complimenting my work will win you favors in bed?" "Wasn't really looking for favors," murmured Crowley huskily. "Quite the opposite, really. Seemed rather the point of that chapter 3, was it? That was mostly what I was thinking of, if you take requests." Aziraphale paused his struggle with the trousers. Why were they so bloody tight? How did the man get into them in the first place? And glanced up. The moonlight from the window in Crowley's ultra-modern apartment was making it rather easy to see his eyes. They really were stunning. A color closer to gold than brown, speckled throughout with green. And at the moment, they were looking at Aziraphale with a specific sort of desperation that made a knot in his stomach tighten and come undone simultaneously. "You," he began, stopped, and began again. "Chapter 3, the part where he..." "Yeah," breathed Crowley, flushing a darker color. "You want me to take control. Aziraphale felt the floor tilting, and it had nothing to do with his consumption of alcohol, and everything to do with his blood leaving his head to migrate south for the winter. I mean, Crowley added, looking suddenly less sure. You don't have to, if you're not into that. Aziraphale stared silently back at him. Into that didn't even begin to cover it. If he had to confess now, he would admit to everything. He was no longer capable of denying that he didn't want to rip Crowley's clothes clean off and have him against the coffee table. He'd seen one in the dark when they'd come in, but really, the specifics of what furniture was involved were inconsequential to the bigger picture. Crowley's lips were shining, and the moisture accented the red mark he'd left from his overly enthusiastic kiss earlier. Proof that he'd been there, that he got to claim that territory as his. It would be lying to say he didn't want to continue in the same vein and map the man's entire body, preferably with his tongue. He had very little self-control left to spare, but his remaining brain cells suggested that at least a little bit of protest would be the responsible thing to do. So he gathered up his remaining willpower. It's not that I don't want to, he said. It's just that we're both drunk. His fingers, unaware of the conversation taking place, unhooked the button on the stupidly tight jeans. I'm sobering up real fast here. Crowley breathed. He had gone rather still against the wall, obliging Aziraphale's traveling hands their exploration. It's a bit fast to immediately jump to that sort of thing, isn't it? His palm turned, pressed against the flat of Crowley's stomach, then slipped lower, fingers inching under the waistband of some sort of expensive, silky underwear. We don't have to do anything extreme. Crowley's voice hitched and he slid down the wall a bit, leaning more heavily against the knee so kindly positioned between his legs. I like being told what to do. Aziraphale, who had been watching his mouth, flipped his gaze up like a switch and refocused on his eyes. Crowley's hair was a mess. He had his fingers in it merely minutes ago as they'd stumbled out of the lift. The man had been warm and pliant in his hold, had pressed up against him like a snake seeking warmth, had twisted his hands into his lapels. He was a vision even in the low light, bitten lips and splayed shoulders, an open shirt collar showing just a sneak peek of what was below. Aziraphale had never wanted anything more in his whole life. He imagined this was what Eve must have felt like in the garden, being offered the untouchable. It was knowledge he was seeking now, the possibility of knowing Crowley, biblically, knowing what it would be like to push his tongue into the warm, inviting mouth again. Knowing how the other would sound coming undone by his hand. Knowing how they might fit together. How Crowley would look as he lay underneath him. A hunger he hadn't felt for another human being for ages had stirred up and began to snap its teeth at the careful cage he'd constructed for it. And Crowley was looking at him with his chin tipped up, his throat wide open for striking, an irresistible fruit. Aziraphale took a shuddering breath, tried to reel himself back in. Where was that kink 3 years ago, he asked. His palm pushed lower. When I was giving you constructive criticism on your terrible choice of lubricant for your story. Crowley chuckled, but his back was arching to the touch of his Earfail's other hand sliding up the expanse of his spine. "It's all about consent, isn't it?" he hissed quietly. "I dare say you're in a far better position to critique what lubricant is about to be involved this time around." Without permission, Zierfail's mouth twitched into a smile. He was losing the battle and he knew it. His hands had already passed the event horizon on the black hole of Crowley's impossible trousers. "Am I now?" he murmured, and glanced back up into the other's eyes, finding them shining devilishly, promising a thousand things as Zierfail was already looking forward to. "And what position would that be?" Crowley's responding grin was almost enough to make him go weak at the knees. Almost. Zierfail had done this before, of course. Despite the senseless teasing about his interests and how well they did or did not match his actual age, he was not a complete shut-in. He'd experimented in his youth, had gone back with random men he'd met in bars here or there. It was never an entirely comfortable experience, but he'd gotten what he needed out of it. An exploration of his potential. A delve into the desires he kept so deeply hidden. Although it was not an unpleasant endeavor, he had learned quite early on that his standards were rather high, as was his ability to ignore sexual thoughts. This ended up propelling him into what was an accidental but tolerable bout of abstinence. But this, now, what was happening in Crowley's bedroom? There was nothing tolerable about this. He could not stand to run his fingers through Crowley's hair without feeling the urge to grip a little tighter. To pull that wonderfully warm noise from the other's throat. He could not handle the way Crowley pressed his whole face into his neck and opened his mouth, threatening his skin with teeth. He couldn't manage the way Crowley backed up against the edge of what was probably a bed. No time to look now, but the mattress felt soft on the back of his knees and gripped his hips. "Down you go." He breathed with a sort of coy, besting smile that still made fireworks ignite in the lower part of Zierfail's abdomen. He couldn't not smile back. "I was rather under the impression I was in charge," he replied and spread his feet almost imperceptibly as Crowley shoved against him a little harder. All for naught. Crowley huffed, clearly surprised with his lack of success. "You're a bloody tank." His hands, which had previously been occupied with the quick evacuation of Zierfail's shirt from its tuck into trousers, came up to his shoulders and curled into his biceps. "Christ, what do you do in that bookshop?" "I shelve books, mostly." Zierfail chuckled, and after a brief consideration, grabbed the man's waist and spun them, throwing Crowley flat onto his back on top of the bedsheets. He expected protests, complaints about foul play, but instead he saw the other's face flood with color and his eyes light up with some sort of thrill. "Bloody hell," he hissed. "What books? Are you hiding the Codex Gigas in your back room? Bench press it in your free time, do you?" Zierfail chuckled quietly in lieu of an answer, slipping one knee up onto the edge of the bed and beginning to undo his bow tie. The room's modern-looking wall lights, which were just enough to draw their silhouettes in a soft, golden glow, were evidently perfectly positioned to catch Crowley's eyes in the most appealing way. Those same eyes were now tracking the movement of his hands with a desperate sort of hunger. the same as the Irfail himself felt at that moment. It was a novel experience, being watched so intently, and although it was not altogether unpleasant, it made him feel strangely exposed. Far more so than Crowley, despite the fact that only one of them was currently shirtless, with an unbuttoned pair of skin-tight jeans. Aziraphale swallowed, the motion brushing his own knuckles as he undid the top button of his shirt. Perhaps both of them were due a good distraction. "Do remove those for me, will you?" he asked softly, leaning forward and sliding one hand up the calf extended towards him. Crowley said, giving a full body shudder, and slumped back onto his shoulder blades immediately, lifting his hips to wiggle his pale legs free. The smooth, rolling motion of it was tantalizing in and of itself, but the real point of interest for his ear fail was the urgency with which he had been obliged to his request. "Underwear too, darling," he said quietly, now watching for a reaction. Without fail, Crowley made another noise, this one much deeper, and all but yanked the silky things off of himself. His chest was heaving, and he was flat on his back again, but his cock, now free, was standing at full attention. As the Irfail leaned forward, and as Crowley's eyes focused on him, it gave him the slightest jump, and a tentative, hopeful pulse of pre-cum. "Goodness," thought his ear fail, feeling his heartbeat double in its rhythm. "Is this for me?" The idea was intoxicating. Crowley was reacting to him, to his touches, and his glances, and his voice. He was eager, and he was clearly wanting. And somehow, not at all bothered by Aziraphale's outward appearance. Previous partners had been pleasantly surprised by his mouth or his attentiveness, but this, simply being aroused by the way he looked, this was new. He felt embarrassingly drunk on it. He felt embarrassingly drunk on Crowley. Gorgeous, absolutely stunning, and lying there, hard and leaking, for him. "Is this all right?" Crowley asked, snapping his ear fail out of his trance. He looked up and saw that the other was braced on his elbows now, his flush having spread down near to his chest. "More than." Aziraphale pulled himself up further into the bed and slid his hand up the other's thighs. Like a wave, goosebumps spread along the paths his fingers traced. But there was no protest, no retraction, merely another eager, lovely sound from Crowley and another twitch from his cock. "I'm simply admiring. You don't mind?" "Don't have a mind to mind with," Crowley admitted a bit breathlessly. "I think I left it in the lift, probably." Fighting back an amused snort, Aziraphale leaned down, pressing his mouth to the soft thigh underneath him. Crowley moaned, and then moaned louder, when Aziraphale moved further up, hands sliding to the base of his cock, and giving an experimental squeeze. This, at least, was familiar. Aziraphale smiled against the shaft of the erection at his lips, and then pulled it down and drew it into his mouth. The effect was immediate. Crowley threw his head back and keened, and as Aziraphale tongued down the underside of it, he swore louder, fingers grasping at the other's shoulders, and finding it absolutely impossible to find purchase with how hard they were shaking. Satisfied, Aziraphale pulled back again, A trail of pre-cum dragged itself along his bottom lip. His fingers traced the sharp edge of the hip bones at his disposal, and he pressed them into the mattress, holding the man down to stop him from thrusting up. Somewhere on the bed above him, Crowley was making more noises, and although all of them seemed positive, they were also distinctly lacking breathing control.
"If you keep doing that, I'm gonna come,"
he choked out. Another warm burst of pleasure spread through his ear fail. It was almost too much. For someone who was quite used to ignoring the tightness in his own trousers, to putting his own needs aside, he was getting ridiculously frustrated with how clothed he currently was. He wanted to be closer, wanted to get more of his hands on Crowley, wanted. He couldn't even decide. It was only one night. How much could he possibly get out of this? Was there ever going to be another time to taste the other in the back of his throat, or to hear him groaning into his ear veil's neck? He had to do this carefully, had to make sure he committed every moment to memory. He slid upwards, pressing his mouth to Crowley's stomach, then to his ribs, counting them with his lips. He reveled in the way the other shuddered underneath him, the way he strained against his weight, but just barely, just enough to verify that he was there, as if the pressure of it was comforting somehow. When he flattened his tongue against a nipple, Crowley moaned, and when he closed his teeth around the nub, the man arched off of the bed and into him, and his ear feel eagerly snaked an arm under his shoulder blades and pulled them flush together. One of them may have said something. It may have been some passing swear or some blasphemy, but it was hardly important. Crowley's arms had wound their way around his neck, and his prick was hot against the inside of his ear pale thigh, probably leaving trails of wet there. And it was lovely. Absolutely lovely. Every moment of it.
"Zirphil!"
Crowley gasped against his mouth, and he came back to himself, recognizing for the first time that Crowley's fingers had snuck into the back of his shirt.
"Take it off,"
he murmured. There was a moment of hesitation, then the need to feel the heat between them won out, and he pulled back, dislodging himself from the other's gangling half-embrace and shrugging his shirt off his shoulders. Through the process of struggling with buttons, he glanced up only once, fell prey to Crowley's intense gaze, and quickly evaded it, feeling himself burning up. It was fine, he tried to convince himself. Crowley wasn't looking away. He had wanted this to happen. As if hearing his internal monologue, Crowley reached towards him and began to undo his trousers, and that was quite a bit more than what Aziraphale was prepared for. He jerked his shirt down to his elbows a little harsher than he'd meant to, and pitched forward again to kiss Crowley, who immediately reciprocated with mirroring enthusiasm. His free hand wiggled down between them, and a short minute later the trousers were flung to the far side of the room, and they thrust up into each other, chest to chest now, with their erections sliding together messily in the minimal space between their stomachs. It was good, but he could already feel himself aching, eager for a different sort of pressure. Feeling his heart stutter, Aziraphale pulled back, biting his bottom lip to hold it still in its quaking eagerness to return where it had previously been.
"Do you want to?"
He didn't know how to finish that sentence. He didn't even know what he wanted. He still couldn't decide what to ask for.
"Whatever you want,"
answered Crowley unhelpfully, breathing strained. He looked quite undone already. For a brief second, Aziraphale's lust-drunk mind jerked into worry. "I'm crushing you," he muttered and pulled back, almost not noticing Crowley's distraught sound at the loss of their proximity.
"Oh, I can lay back against the headboard and..."
He tried to finish the thought, but Crowley, who had no evident time for this naked game of Tetris, was suddenly against him again, writhing closer, crawling up into his lap, locking his legs eagerly around Aziraphale's hips, and pressing their mouths together. Aziraphale's breath caught, and his whole body flashed with heat, feeling for the first time in a long time, above anything else, wanted. Crowley wanted him. It was enough to make him lose it again, make him forget everything else except the blissful weight of the other in his hold. He curled his hands behind Crowley's thighs and yanked him up further, easy as anything, and Crowley moaned a low, sweet, surrendering note directly against his tongue, as if the action had been somewhat of an aphrodisiac.
"Fuck, yeah,"
he gasped when they broke apart.
"Literally, whatever you want, I swear. Good lord."
Aziraphale said on a breathless chuckle, and then bit his lip, watching Crowley grind down into him. Hips rolling in a motion that would have been far too smooth to be real to anyone who hadn't spent the last 5 hours staring, which Aziraphale had. They pressed together again, and all at once, the worry plaguing his mind was burned out of him and replaced by the raging need to know, to touch, to feel. Crowley was there, and he was as alive as a flame, constantly in motion, constantly seeking, looking up against him, warming him to the very core. Aziraphale barely let go of him for 2 seconds to allow him to twist away to the side somewhere before he was returning again, and a very specific plastic noise clicked like a switch, interrupting their trance. Aziraphale smiled a soft, knowing smile against the collarbone he had just been sucking a bruise into.
"Is that what I think it is?"
he asked.
"No,"
retorted Crowley, unable to resist a good snark even in this position. "It's hot sauce. I'm planning to experiment with burning sensations." "Of course it's what you think it is. It's all up to your standard, trust me. Lubricant, 100% organic and safe, and..." He paused, and there was a long stretch of silence. Perhaps too long. Feeling a cold creeping of uncertainty, Aziraphale pulled his head back, looking slightly up at the other, who was now squinting at the label of a matte black lotion bottle with a scowl.
"What's the matter?" he murmured. "We don't have to."
"Fuck," Crowley hissed, having barely heard him. "It's oil-based, and all my rubbers are bloody latex. He scowled and rolled his eyes, and Aziraphale realized as he watched that instead of disappointment, the only thing he felt was a burst of appreciation, an uncharacteristically pure drop of emotion in the ocean of lust they were both swimming in. Interrupting Crowley's groaning midstream, he took the bottle from him.
"On the contrary, I'm glad you care enough to remember. And there are plenty of things we can do without involving rubbers." "I wanted..."
Crowley began and found himself cut off by another mouth on his. When he pulled back, his train of thought seemed to have departed for the next station.
"You said you like being told what to do."
Crowley's throat jumped and his lips, shining from the attention they'd received, parted dazedly. The aforementioned train had perhaps hit him on the way out.
"Yeah, I did. I did say that,"
he rasped unevenly. upturning the bottle into his hand. Aziraphale watched the clear liquid roll across his palm, and then wrapped his fingers back around Crowley's cock, dragging a few smooth strokes up and down until the man grabbed his shoulders to steady himself and began to make distinctly non-verbal noises once again. "Then I'm going to tell you," he said and smiled when Crowley whimpered, dropping his head onto his shoulder and breathing a curse against his skin. "Touch yourself nice and slow for me, darling. No coming just yet, do you hear?" Another whimper. Satisfied, Aziraphale glanced down, reapplied more of the oil, and slowly snuck his hands around Crowley's waist, gently bumping him further up into his lap and sliding his fingers between his parted thighs.
"Oh, God, yeah, oh, please."
Crowley groaned and cut himself off. Thankfully, words weren't necessary to tell Aziraphale what he needed to know. The way Crowley clenched as he worked one slick finger up into him, the way his muscles tensed, then relaxed, and then pressed down, seeking more, deeper, until a new noise tore itself from his throat. "Here?" Aziraphale asked, pressing another finger inside slowly, and smiled when Crowley shuddered violently against him. "Yes, I think so."
"I can't. Oh, I'm gonna..."
Crowley moaned again, and his hand sped up its pace, rocking against his cock eagerly to match Aziraphale's steady thrusts. "No." Aziraphale breathed against his neck, his free hand tightening its grip on Crowley's thigh just a bit. "No, you won't. Not yet." Crowley's voice broke on a cry, but his fingers stilled. He rolled his hips again, meeting Aziraphale's next thrust, only to immediately cry out and begin to shiver again.
"Aziraphale, please.
You're going to be good for me, won't you?" Aziraphale whispered against his ear. "You're going to take your hands off of yourself. Yes, just like that." He licked his lips, considered the way Crowley broke into him, a silent crack of pressure giving way to gravity. He watched with dazed amazement the way the shadows of the room framed the tremble of the shoulder that was up against his lips. Considered how much further he could take this, what he might be allowed. His mind buzzed with a silent, intoxicating thrill. "Put them behind your back." Crowley's forehead dropped like a brick.
"Bloody."
He hissed, but he was already doing it. Already crossing his wrists at the curve of his lower back. And evidently, no less hard for it. "Oh, love," thought Aziraphale fondly, and immediately smothered the words in the back of his throat, only allowing a soft hiss of satisfaction to slip through his teeth. It was too much, almost too much. If he was any more than just a bit tipsy, he would be hard-pressed to believe that any of this was real. It felt like a dream. Crowley like this, up against him, gasping and straining in his hold. Fighting back the urge to thrust up, he tried to focus again, tried to bring himself back under control, to focus on the task at hand. "Can you come just from this?" Aziraphale's fingers edged deeper, pushing the other open a little bit more with each thrust, grinding against the spot that made Crowley's thigh seize up around Aziraphale's hips. "I think you can." "Mm-hmm," replied Crowley, in a tone 2 octaves higher than usual. Taking pity, Aziraphale moved his hand back to Crowley's swollen cock, stroking slowly and steady from the base up, teasing more eager whines from the other. This alone was enough. His own cock was unattended, trapped between their stomachs, but no pressure could compare to the warm, budding satisfaction of knowing the other was keeping himself as Aziraphale wanted, holding off on his own desires for Aziraphale's sake, because Aziraphale had asked. Crowley trusted him, here, in the dimly lit room with the satin sheets, with just the night behind them. He had given him the reins, had not even hesitated, had not even argued. The knowledge of what he held in his lap, what he was being gifted, was not lost on Aziraphale. He felt endearment flooding him, stronger than any physical pleasure, and a reciprocating drive to make this worth it, make Crowley feel as good as he possibly could, make the surrender worth its sacrifice. "You're going to come for me," said Aziraphale softly, pushing his fingers up in another, harsher thrust. Feeling the other's body ache around him, slick and hot and inviting. "You're going to come while I fuck you, just like this, and I want to hear every noise. Understand? I won't stop until you're silent." Another moan smothered against his shoulder, bitten and barely legible. "That's perfect, darling," he praised soothingly. "You've been so good for me." This was, apparently, the limit. All at once, Crowley clenched around him and his hands broke free from their invisible binds and grabbed at Aziraphale's shoulders instead. His cry sounded closer to a sob, and yet he pulled himself even closer, collapsing onto Aziraphale's steady frame, melting onto him, coiling inwards as his cock pulsed wetly in Aziraphale's grip. Aziraphale didn't slow. He just kept at it, finger fucking the other open, until the gasping, desperate whines turned into a full body wreck of ecstasy. Crowley's voice pitched into a wail for a second and then died down, but, true to his orders, he kept crying out as the orgasm rushed through him in waves. It did not abate immediately, much to Aziraphale's pleasure, and he had the opportunity to continue pushing deeper as Crowley muffled his cries into his neck. The sound glanced off of the tall walls of the bedroom, rustled the curtains, and rolled back against them in the pliant darkness, where Aziraphale closed his eyes and shivered. Finally, the haze of the climax retreated. Aziraphale slowed his hands, kissed gently against the other's collarbone, and withdrew his fingers, moving his other arm to help hold up the figure slumped across his lap. Crowley was breathing heavily, tried to lift himself, but failing that plan, decided to simply sag back into Aziraphale's arms instead, resting their foreheads together. His face was deliciously red, voice like water over gravel when he finally spoke, just loudly enough for Aziraphale to hear. "Think I just had a religious experience." "The good kind, I hope," murmured Aziraphale. "The kind that results in the longest orgasm of one's life," said Crowley, and his face cracked on a grin. "Ecstasy of St. Teresa style." A delighted laugh rushed out of Aziraphale. He tightened his hold again, unable to help himself, and then flushed when Crowley's eyes slid south. He seemed to be gazing intently downwards, and Aziraphale became suddenly aware that the other was studying his form. Clearing his throat, he put his hands over his stomach, trying to hide how self-conscious he was, how he was in general. He had honestly hoped to keep the nakedness to a minimum, given what he looked like. One thing he was thankful for, Crowley didn't seem repulsed. In fact, he wasn't even judging. He was staring at Aziraphale as if it didn't bother him at all, as if he was still turned on. "Bloody hell," he said, and Aziraphale blushed harder. Before he could say something, divert it somehow, Crowley licked his lips, and it was all too clear what he was focusing on specifically. The suspicions were confirmed not even 2 seconds later. With shocking lightness, the man uncoiled himself from the tangle around Aziraphale's waist and slid down the length of him instead, dragging his serpentine form until he settled at the apex of his crotch, staring directly up at the swollen, red head of his cock. "I've been a terrible host," he breathed. Aziraphale's heart, stomach, and prick all jumped in unison. Abandoning previous worries about hiding his gut, the man grabbed for the bedsheets, seizing a fistful of fabric and closing his eyes to hold himself steady.
You don't have to."
"I have to," Crowley assured him. "Would never forgive myself if I didn't," he added quietly, and Aziraphale had to look at him again, had to witness the moment the other's kiss-bitten, flushed lips closed with reverence around the tip of his erection. It was only due to years of practiced repression that Aziraphale did not come right there and then. He certainly would have if he had even a sliver less self-control, but instead he held out for a whole 30 seconds. It was an absolute torment and absolute rapture every moment of it. His thighs opened on their own, admitting the guest to lean his elbows on the bed between them and slide down a few inches from the headboard as Crowley pushed more and more of him into his mouth. More and more, and oh God, he was taking him to the hilt. Not even a hesitation, not even a hint of discomfort.
"Oh, darling."
Aziraphale didn't mean to cry out. Didn't quite even know that he had done it. Crowley knew, though, and he pulled back just a bit and looked up at the other with such utter devotion that it made his heart hurt to see it. Then he closed his eyes again and then slid off of the cock with an obscene, wet pop and moved his mouth gently along the underside, tongue dragging pre-cum off of the skin. "Aziraphale," he breathed, the name like a prayer whispered into the base of his prick.
"Yes. Hands in my hair now, please."
It was hard to tell which one of them sounded more gone. It didn't really matter, because as soon as Aziraphale reached forward and curled his fingers into the soft red locks, both of them were equally incapacitated. Crowley's lips found the head of the cock again, and Aziraphale, now holding him steady in a way he realized Crowley enjoyed, thrust up slowly into his mouth, then less slowly, then... He didn't quite remember, embarrassingly enough. He just knew that the orgasm rushed over him like a tide, stealing his breath, his vision, and what little remained of his self-control. He knew he had cried out Crowley's name, and possibly even called him darling again, which caused Crowley's throat to constrict and made Aziraphale see stars. A moment later, or maybe an hour, or maybe a year, He came back to himself and realized Crowley was clutching his thighs and sliding off of him, licking his lips and breathing harshly. He looked absolutely wrecked. Reddened lips, pulled hair, and sweat-gleaming skin. And it took every ounce of common sense to stop Aziraphale from rolling them both and going right back to the beginning and doing it all over again. Perhaps a similar thought passed through Crowley's head, because he looked up again, and his features softened into a blissed-out smile.
"Holy shit,"
he croaked.
"Not too much?"
asked Aziraphale breathlessly, reaching down to wipe at the man's cheek with a remnant of concern.
"Sorry, it's been a while since I..."
"No," protested Crowley, lifting himself up into a cheap imitation of a sitting position and reaching over to press a finger to Aziraphale's lips. He was swaying just a bit, still smiling.
"No, don't, it was perfect," he murmured very softly.
He leaned in and pressed his lips to his ear fails, a chaste, gentle kiss, and then pulled back just as quickly, getting up off the bed on wobbly legs.
"Gonna just go to the bathroom and wash up. Give me a sec."
He disappeared into a door that must have been the bathroom in a more or less effective manner, though his knees and hips seemed to have less in common than usual, which was a miracle all on its own. Aziraphale watched him go, basking in the afterglow, and did not remember to stop smiling for a whole 4 minutes later when Crowley returned. He was a bit more wet, still very naked, and even more sleepy.
"Got you a towel,"
he said, depositing the fluffy thing into Aziraphale's hands.
"Bathroom's through there. You can just use whatever and make yourself at home."
"Thank you," Aziraphale said. He didn't know what else to say, so he didn't. Just went into the bathroom and tried to pretend that this was normal. And really, who was to say that it wasn't? Now that the buzz of the alcohol had worn off, now that the lull of the romantic evening had trickled down to the drain, now that the thunderstorm of lust had passed and became barely a drizzle in his mind, he was having much more lucid thoughts about the entire ordeal. Namely, having sex with someone he had technically met that day. Of course, he had had a bit of that in his younger years. He had had partners. They had casual sex and then went their separate ways.
But this was different.
Somehow it was. He couldn't quite explain why. Maybe it was the fact that Crowley was a friend instead of just a stranger. Maybe it was the fact that Crowley had actually liked him enough to invite him back. Maybe it was the fact that Crowley had looked up at him, utterly wrecked and blushing, and had still smiled like he was the sun for some reason. Surely something was responsible for the alien feeling in the pit of his chest, which was simultaneously uncomfortably huge and fragile. He didn't want to examine it, and even if he did, he felt that he would probably not have the correct qualifications to assess it. Novelty was not his strong suit. Speaking of novelty, the bathroom was the height of it. He had not really got a good look at the apartment when they'd fallen through the door, snogging each other's faces off. Priorities, you understand. But now that he was in a well-lit space, the blurred details were beginning to piece themselves together. Everything was modern, ultra-sleek with minimal detail. The counter was black marble, the sink was an ergonomic shape dipping into the wall, and the soaps and various skincare products were all lined up in a square crevice built directly into the wall-sized mirror. He spared himself one glance in it, decided to avoid doing it in the future, and instead looked for the shower. It was there, sure enough, if it was indeed a shower. It seemed to be just a section of tiled floor blocked off by glass, but there were knobs and things in the wall which looked like they might have been designed for a Star Trek TV set. Fiddling with them took a while, which meant the shower took much longer than he anticipated. He was not surprised, therefore, to find Crowley dead asleep by the time he returned. The room was mostly dark again, and the only illumination was the light from the bathroom sneaking up behind him and overtaking his feet, rushing towards the edge of the bed in a strip of soft gold that climbed over the rumpled silk sheets. Somewhere under the covers was Crowley, breathing softly. There was a tall window on the wall opposite, which, when Aziraphale peeked behind the thick, black curtain, revealed a very expensive view of London. He watched for a moment and then pulled away, giving the bed another glance before sneaking out of the room. A part of him felt strange about snooping, but another, stronger part, which he knew he wouldn't be able to sleep anyway, and besides, he needed a glass of water. The kitchen couldn't have been far, so he made it back down the hall, one hand on the mat wall, fingers trailing idly until it came to a corner, and the floor plan unfurled into an open-style living space. Again, here were tall windows, and by the light coming from behind them, he could make out silhouettes of an angular sofa, a very sleek TV, and a few sparse bookshelves. The bookshelves drew his attention, but he quickly abandoned the endeavor due to the lack of a light switch and veered left instead, to where a bar counter was cutting him off from the kitchen cabinets. From where he was standing, he could catch the corner of another room further down the hall. A wider, doorless space drenched in moonlight and heavily slashed through with organic shadows. It took him a few seconds to realize they must have been the plants Crowley mentioned raising. It looked like they were huge and numerous. He wanted to go in, but the idea of those monstrous leaves looming over him was somewhat spooky in the middle of the night. So instead he turned back to the kitchen sink. The fight with the tap took less time than he had feared, and very quickly he had a glass full of what he'd been after, albeit a wine glass. He drank it slowly, staring into the empty living room and wondering if Crowley had wine somewhere in the cabinets, if it was good wine. Maybe they could share it one day. Maybe he could recline on that uncomfortable-looking couch and discuss romantic and debaucherous poetry. Crowley could tell him about the plants he kept. They could talk about their collaborations, their new projects, trade ideas, and then at the end of the night, they could. No, he was getting ahead of himself. They had sex, that was all. It didn't have to mean anything. They hadn't talked about it at all. Crowley merely invited him over because he felt obligated to. That was what he had said, hadn't he? Hated owing people favors. And he had pressed his lips to his ear fails and unlocked his mouth with a turn, like a key. And it had been wonderful, each part of it. He couldn't even think about it without becoming flustered again. He decided to save the thinking for later. He was drunk, and besides, they could discuss it awkwardly tomorrow, maybe over breakfast. He made his way back to the bedroom. Crowley had scooted to the left, leaving the right side of the bed open for him. Aziraphale pulled back the covers and slipped in, and when the other rolled over and pressed up against him like a reptile seeking a heat source, the feeling of butterflies in his stomach returned again. Morning. I'll deal with it in the morning, he thought to himself stubbornly. And in that moment, for the first time in a long time, he lay aside his worries, put his arm around Crowley, and allowed himself to just be. End of part 2.